Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews-Akome. So let's get started. Hey, hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's Nikayla here. And today in the guest chair, we have Denitra Burnett. She is the founder and CEO of Savvy Events, a seven-figure Los Angeles-based event production and creative agency. With an MBA from Cal State San Bernardino and a BA in communications from Howard University, Denitra has used her creativity and grit to climb to the top of the events industry. She is a regular on the Biz Bash 500 list of the nation's most influential event planners and works closely with entertainment titans and Fortune 500 companies like HBO, Netflix, and HP, just to name a few. She also works alongside her husband, Lawrence, and when they're not producing impactful brand experiences, you will find them raising and hanging out with their two vivacious sons at their home in LA. Now, in today's episode, you're going to hear how when the events business was shut down due to the pandemic, Denitra pivoted. She pivoted into producing custom mailers. Her clever thinking, creative problem solving, and creative ideation led her to scale her business to the seven-figure mark, and it is continuing to grow. I love her story. I love her journey. I hope it's motivational to you guys. So let's get right into it. So Denitra, welcome to the guest chair. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Nikayla. I'm super excited to chat with you today.
I am as well. So you did your BA in communications like myself. You went to Howard.
I did.
So was that when you were bitten by the entrepreneurship bug, surrounded by so many Black excellent people?
I mean, at Howard, I feel like I learned so much, but I don't think I was bitten by the entrepreneurship bug until after I graduated from Howard. I learned so much, of course, while I was there and just seeing everyone excel and so much Black excellence. But I didn't get bitten by the bug until I would say I had my first internship. It was after I graduated from Howard. I interned in New York for, they're called the Gap Survey.
Okay.
So they rate restaurants and nightlife in major metropolitan cities. And so
I know, and they had that book. They had that book.
They do. They have the Gap Guide. Yes. So I interned there in 2000 and I'm aging myself. In 2004, when I graduated from Howard, that was my first internship. And I did events for them. And so with their communications team, and I loved it. And I knew then, like, okay, I think I want to do something with this whole party planning thing. Mm. And so that's kind of when I made that decision.
So coming out of college, did you go immediately into this field? So that was the internship, right?
So that was an internship. After I finished the internship in New York, I moved back home to the Inland Empire, Southern California.
Okay.
And I worked as a substitute teacher for a couple of years. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I'm like, do I want to go back to school? So I applied to law school. And then I'm like, I don't really think I want to do that either. And so I subbed for a couple of years, and then I got a job at a nonprofit working as their communications coordinator. And it was a lot of events and fundraising. And I knew then, like, okay, I'm liking the events piece of the job. And so I worked there for about a year and a half, and then I went and got my MBA. So when I was in grad school, I took an entrepreneurship course, and one of the assignments was to start a business. And I knew I wanted to get into events. And so I had a friend of a friend who was getting married, and she ended up hiring me as her wedding planner. And she had a vision for her event, but no money to really execute that vision, which I find happens a lot with brides. But I did that event, and even though it was chaos and not my ideal type of event, I loved it. Like, I knew that events was something that I wanted to pursue full time. And so I just kept kind of working towards that.
That's how you know when something is for you. Because if you can make it through a bridezilla and still want to do events,
that
is a sign. So what happened next? How long did you work not in events before you started actually doing it some more?
So after I graduated from my MBA program, I got a full-time job as the director of community relations for a university. And so the great thing about that is I got to do events still. So I was still working in the event space and really cultivating relationships, which I think has been key just kind of to where I'm at today, is just the relationship cultivation piece of it. But I worked at that university for 2 years. I did events, but I was also doing weddings on the side. So I did events for my 9-to-5. We did like different community events. We did an event. I was actually on the Tia and Tamara show a million years ago with Tamara because she served our keynote speaker. I know she served as our keynote speaker for one of the events that I did. And I knew that I wanted to do large events. I knew I wanted to do corporate events. Yeah. And at some point I wanted to pivot out of doing weddings, but I did weddings on the side. I made money, you know, on the weekends doing weddings as just like a day of coordinator for a lot of brides. And I did that through 2015. I got laid off from my full-time job. And my now husband was like, why don't you just try to do events full time? Like, you know, you don't want a 9-to-5. Why don't you try to pursue this full time? And so I did. I started pursuing events full time in 2015.
Shout out to hubby. Shout out to supportive partners who see your vision. Okay. Relatable.
Exactly.
So once you started pursuing it full time, what were some of the first steps you took to take it and really formalize it as a business and to start taking it up a notch?
For sure. So I did my DBA, of course, just I did a DBA for the first couple of years before I moved on to an LLC. But I did my DBA, and then I started reaching out to people that I knew. Mm-hmm. I would post on, I think back then I was posting on Facebook, just letting people know, like, hey, I'm offering these event planning services. And then I would start getting gigs. So I remember my pastor was doing an event for her 50th birthday back then, and they hired me to plan the event. I had friends tell some of their jobs about me. So then I started getting hired for corporate stuff. Mm. And it was really just being strategic with letting people know that I was offering the service. And that's how I started to just get more and more events rolling in. I've always been really smart and really kind of savvy with like reaching out to people.
Okay.
So I'm always going to shoot my shot.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Now, in those beginning days, were you also like putting up a website and starting? I know you have your social media channels now. At what stage did you incorporate that element?
So I have done websites from the very beginning, even when I was, you know, posting my services on Craigslist back in the day. I would go on Etsy and I would always find someone who had like a website template or something. And I always had a website. From the beginning, I always made sure that I became friendly with the photographers that shot my events. Mm-hmm. So if it was a wedding, I would always make sure that I got the photographer's information. And then she would share pictures with me after the wedding. And so I always made sure I kept my portfolio tight. And that's something from the very beginning. So even when it was like super basic events, I had pictures of them.
Okay.
And I was able to leverage that into getting more events because, I mean, in the event space, people want to see what you can do.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, Facebook was around then and Instagram was very new. So I would post on those channels, but I don't know if that was super helpful in the beginning. I know that my website helped and I would blog all of the events. So I always tried to be strategic when it came to social media and just like having a web presence.
Mm. And as you were building, how did you manage bandwidth of actually doing the events, right? And not having all of your weekends or all of your weeks devoted to other people. How did you manage that while also making sure that you had a certain amount of income each month?
Not very well. to be completely honest, in the beginning, luckily my husband worked. And so if I had really slow months, it's like, well, we have enough to pay the rent. We have enough to pay this car note, you know, like we're going to figure it out.
Right.
And so in the beginning, it was hard because I would take any client that came my way. If you had a $5,000 budget, I will make your $5,000 budget work. And even if I'm making $250, like it was kind of crazy.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I always knew if I was able to pivot out of weddings and into corporate, there was just more money. Mm-hmm. Like there's just more money in corporate events and there's less emotion.
Yeah.
You know, brides, it's their, you know, their parents' life savings, you know, for their wedding and their pension pennies. And with corporate, it's just, it's less emotion. It's very straightforward and to the point.
Yeah.
This is our budget. These are our objectives. And I kind of operate that way. I prefer that. To the emotion.
Yes, the emotion is a lot, you know, speaking as a former bride.
Yes.
I won't say bridezilla, but I will say a very, you know, a bride with a vision. So, but moving right along.
A bride with a vision, girl. A bride with a vision is a crazy bride.
Nothing worse than a bride with a vision.
I get it. Because we all have like, you know, hopes and dreams for our wedding day. But like, there are planners that can help execute that. It just wasn't my passion.
Yeah. I was going through your Instagram recently and, you know, something that you mentioned really stood out to me. And you said, you know, we can talk about work-life balance and boundaries later, but, you know, I will answer that call at 11. I will do work at this time. How do you manage that, especially being a mom? Like what makes you okay with that right now?
So it's a constant juggling act, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am growing up now, and we'll talk about this, a completely new division of my business.
Right.
And I'm working with clients that require so much of me that in this season, I'm okay with that. It's something I am working on. Like I talk to my therapist. I have two cell phones now. I have one for work, one for personal. So I have been trying to be a little bit more conscious of setting those boundaries with clients. But when we're in the thick of a big project, like we do mailers now as well.
Yeah.
So if I'm in the thick of a project and I know a project is landing in hands tomorrow and there's an issue with the project and a client has to reach me at 11 p.m., I mean, I have to answer.
Yeah.
I answer because if we're in the thick of it, I'd have to make sure that that project is executed to perfection.
Of course.
And so you know, you do what you have to do. Are they calling me at 11 and emailing me at, you know, midnight every single night? No. Okay. But if we're in the middle of something big, I always try to make myself available.
And that's the nature of client-based businesses. And I think it's something, yes, I wanted to call out, because I think a lot of people feel guilt around that. And it's a different business model. Like, you have to do what is working for your business, what your business requires in the season it requires, until, you
exactly
know, you scale it beyond that. So before we get into the mailers, because I think the mailers are so interesting, but how long had you worked in doing solely events before you got into mailers?
So solely events, I started Savvy in 2009, mm-hmm, just as events, right, primarily weddings back then. So 2009, and then we didn't start doing, you know, mailers until 2020.
Yep.
So I did solely events for the bulk of my career.
And did you bring on a team, or do you hire people for event by event basis?
I hire people on an event by event basis. I was able to keep my expenses lower by doing that. So anytime we had an event, I have go-to assistants that I work with day of.
Yeah.
And so that's how I was able to manage it. I had a VA that I worked, okay, with, and then just, it was me. I was the business.
Now, how were you able to secure people who you could call on like that with such regularity? Because I think that's really important to have. But, you know, if people are doing all sorts of different things, how do you make sure that you have that regular person that you can have assist you with an event?
For sure. So if I booked events, say I was doing a wedding and they booked me 6 months out.
Yeah.
I would literally reach out to my people then, like, hey, I have a wedding on November 5th. I need your assistance. Can you put it on your calendar now?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they would already know, and I wasn't coming to them last minute. Now, when I shifted and started doing more influencer events and tastemaker events, a lot of these companies are bringing me on literally 2 weeks out to plan the event.
Man. Yeah.
And so it's a much faster turnaround. And I have my go-to people. So it's a lot of, you know, some of them are friends, some of them are former clients that are my assistants now. And so I just always make sure that I'm very communicative with them, and I'll send a text, I'll send an email like, hey, I need you on this date. Are you available?
Okay.
Or sometimes if I'm really in a bind, it's like, hey, do you have a friend who's available as well? I mean, it's not rocket science, day of.
Yep.
You need to be able to follow direction. You need to, you know, be a nice person. And it's, you know, so I'm able to usually find people at the last minute if I need to.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024. If you're a small business owner, this is for you. Running a business is just plain hard. Endless to-do lists, employees to take care of, and your ever-present bottom line. So first of all, kudos to you for staying on top of it. And now I want to tell you about Gusto. Gusto builds an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They help over 300,000 businesses by taking the pain out of tasks like automated payroll tax filing, direct deposit, health insurance administration, 401k, onboarding tools, you name it. Gusto makes it easy. And they really care about the small business owners they work with. Their support team is attentive and helpful. And since money can be tight sometimes, you'll even get 3 months free. Just go to gusto.com/SHP and start setting up your business today. You'll see what I mean when I say easy. Again, that's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/SHP. So let's talk about money a little bit. Now, for people who are in the event space who are listening to this, how do you go about your projections? How do you go about your bookings, and how far in advance do you try to book up to make sure you can project out your income for the year?
That's a little challenging to do, especially when I kind of pivoted to doing more corporate and influencer events. Mm-hmm. Like I said, with the influencer events, they're very last minute.
Okay.
So I work with a lot of PR agencies. So they'll reach out to me like, hey, we're coming to LA for an event. We need you to secure a venue, handle the design. And we have 2 weeks to do this.
That's stressful.
And so it can definitely be stressful, but I have such solid vendor relationships. Mm-hmm. And I know so many of the venues here that it's not difficult for me to be able to pull that off. One thing that I did do to make sure that I was making money as just an event planner is I never charged a flat rate once I had my portfolio to where it needed to be. Ooh. So once I had like a body of work, I don't charge flat rates.
Yeah.
You can't hire me for $3,000 to plan your event.
Yeah,
I do percentage-based pricing, and I think every planner should charge on a percentage scale.
Percentage of what? Registration?
So I do a percentage of the overall budget.
Okay.
So if you hire me to produce an influencer event, for instance, and I know, you know, as I'm working through the numbers, your budget's going to be approximately $60,000. I'm always 25% of your budget. That's our fee.
Yeah.
To produce, design, manage the events. I have minimums, and the minimums are typically based on like the size of the event and the scale of the event. And I always make sure that I make money.
This is because in the beginning, I didn't do that. I love this. Yes.
Really? So in the beginning, a client would come to me and say, hey, I have a $25,000 budget. More so in the corporate space. Uh-huh. They would say, hey, I have a $25,000 budget. And then we'd get to planning, and then that budget would balloon. And now that budget is $50,000. Mm-hmm. And now instead of just managing maybe five vendors, I'm managing a team of 10 vendors. That's more work for me.
Yeah.
That's more work for my VA. So I'm spending more money on her hourly rates. I'm spending more time coordinating all of this. And so I should be compensated for that.
Yes.
Absolutely. A percentage-based pricing structure allows me to be fairly compensated for the time that I'm putting into planning the events.
That is really, really smart. And I think about a lot of times people come into an event not even realizing what their cost will be. They have a estimate, a budget, and then it balloons. So then how do you manage when it balloons, trusting that they are giving you accurate? Well, you're the one hiring. So you have
I'm managing
insight.
It.
Yeah, you're managing it. Okay. So you have insight into what the final
budget is.
So
we just did a 2-day event for a client, and the first day was a dinner party. The second day they did a carnival. A couple, they got married during the COVID. So they wanted to have like a celebration.
Yeah.
And so they started with about a $30,000 budget, they said, for both nights. I knew it was not even remotely possible to achieve what they wanted to achieve with that budget.
Yeah.
And by the time it was said and done, we're well over $100,000. If I had charged a flat rate,
yeah,
I would literally be going crazy right now.
Yeah.
Because it was so much work, so many vendors to manage, loading, like just the logistical piece of managing the events was so much. And I'm happy that I did the event because I was fairly compensated.
Yeah.
So when you're not fairly compensated, you're not happy.
Yeah,
you have an attitude on the event day, you know? So I learned that though. I think I started implementing percentage-based pricing in 2019 or 2018.
Okay. Yes.
And back then I might've been charging 15% of the budget, and with experience, with time, with, you know, my body of work, I'm able to, you know, to charge what I charge now.
I love it. And I love that you just have that confidence about it. You're like, this is what it is. And that also pushes out people who are not the right client for you. Because if they have a problem with that, it's like, well, this is, you have to find someone else.
Exactly. And I think sometimes it takes time for planners, I think, to implement this type of pricing structure because you do have to have confidence when you're explaining it to a client.
Yes.
Because for many clients, it's new to them. They're like, you're not just going to charge me $5,000 to plan the party. And in some instances, maybe I will. If I'm doing a small graduation dinner, like I have one coming up, I can, that's literally 30 people. That's my minimum. My minimum for that event will be $5,000 because it's a small event that I'm overseeing, I'm designing it, and I'm bringing their vision to life. And I'm okay with that. But if somehow they decided that they were going to increase their budget, I'm still going to get my percentage.
Okay.
If it goes over that $5,000 threshold.
So for smaller planners who are working their way up, how many years do you suggest someone working, or is there like a bulk of events, like a number of events they should have experience planning, or a size tiers that they should have experience planning well before they look into percentage-based pricing?
No, I think everyone can. I think you can be a brand new planner and start off with percentage-based pricing. It's percentage-based, but you can have a minimum.
Okay.
So that minimum, as long as you're sure that with that minimum, you're able to cover your expenses, your staffing, your needs to still be profitable, charge your minimum. If that's, you know, if you're in Oklahoma and that minimum is $3,000 for whatever the packages, you know, that you're offering, if you offer packages, I think that's perfectly fine. But you know that if a client decides to go up on their budget, you're going to be covered.
Okay. Now let's talk about these mailers. When I saw that mailer from Bel Air on Peacock, I was like, this is fire. Like, I want to do this for my birthday party. I love that. And, you know, as someone who's coming from a PR background, I remember a time when, like, if you had an event, you had to, what do you mean you don't have a physical mailer that you're sending to someone? And then in this virtual world, you know, more and more people start to do away with that. And you are bringing this back in a new and even better way. So when did you pivot to mailers and why? And what is a mailer for those who don't know?
So a mailer is basically a press kit, a seeding kit that companies will send out to promote a product, a service. I do a lot for the entertainment industry. So we do a lot of basically watch kits for shows that are premiering. And so I got into mailers in September of 2020 during COVID.
Yeah.
Once COVID hit, the events industry completely shut down. And so I was at home with a new baby. I had a 2-month-old and a 4-year-old at home. And I didn't know what we were going to do. Honestly, my husband had gotten laid off. Mm-hmm. We were just there like, what do we do? And so I got an email from someone at Netflix. Her name is Vanessa Victorian. So shout out to Vanessa.
Yes.
I got an email from Vanessa and she asked me if I did mailers.
Okay.
Her boss, Kelly Hill, also Netflix, had recommended me. And so I didn't even know what a mailer was. I was like, do I do mailers?
Yeah.
Can I do a mailer? Yes, I can. And I remember talking to my husband. I was like, they want us to do something called a mailer? and we're going to like send it to 70 people. I don't know what to do. So I started calling friends.
Yes.
Like I called my girlfriend who was a graphic designer and she was like, oh, I can help you design it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's design it. So I said yes, even though I had no clue.
Wow.
What, like how to go about it. But I knew that I knew who to call. Mm-hmm. I knew who I could reach out to. And I remember it's like, it's so funny. I looked at that email not that long ago. It was September of 2020. We did 70 mailers for this title called Dick Johnson is Dead. Uh-huh. It was a very simple yellow shipper box. When they opened it, there was a face mask, like with Dick Johnson's face on it. And underneath it was a jar of cake because it was celebrating Dick Johnson's birthday.
Oh, wow.
So Netflix's thing was they really wanted to figure out how we could send a cake to people. And I reached out to my baker and she's like, you know what? We can do like mason jars and fill them with cake and we can ship them anywhere. And we did that first mailer. I talked about it on my Instagram. It was a nightmare. We did it in the middle of our living room. Uh-huh. We were in our living room of our 2-bedroom townhouse. I had a 4-year-old who was out of school because of the pandemic.
Right.
And I was wearing my 2-month-old baby. And my husband and I literally put all of these 70 boxes together in the middle of our living room. He drove them to FedEx because back then we didn't even know how to like schedule a FedEx pickup.
Yeah.
I look back and one of my girlfriends was like, you should take a picture of what this looks like right now because you're like, this is going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I thought she was crazy, but I snapped a picture with me holding Joshua and all of these yellow boxes behind me. And I look back at it like, look at God.
Wow.
Like, it's bigger than anything I could have ever imagined.
That is amazing. Oh my gosh. Like, did the boxes get there? When you said nightmare, I was like, oh no. Was it like mail issues?
They got there.
Okay.
They got there and the clients were so, like, the client was so happy that right after we did that project, they contacted me to do Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Chadwick's last film. Yeah. And mind you, we had only done the one little small mailer.
You're like a professional mailer company.
Now I'm a professional mailer company. So I told Lawrence, my husband, I said, we can't do this in the living room. Like, that's not going to work. We're doing 300 units of these.
Yeah.
So we rented a warehouse space that we could rent on a month to month basis. Mm-hmm. Cause we're like, maybe we'll do this for a couple of months. So Netflix just kept hiring us. We did Ma Rainey. Then we did a film called Pieces of a Woman. Uh-huh. Then we did boxes for Spike Lee. It just ballooned after that. And here we are today. I think to date, we've done about 40 mailers for companies. And it's a completely new business. Mm-hmm. It's a completely new division of my business.
So how did that change as far as when you do an event, right? And we just talked about, you know, the percentage and how the budget gets so it balloons and all this stuff. Did your business model change such that you were making less with the mailers? Are you making similar or more? Like, how did you accommodate that new arm as you waited for events to pick up?
For sure. So we do the same pricing structure. I still do a percentage-based pricing structure with the mailers, and the business has it's grown. Mm-hmm. So in 2019, we probably brought in around $200,000 in revenue on events, which was like, I was happy with that.
Yeah.
This year, we're slated to make multiple 7 figures. It's insane.
Snap, snap, snap.
To say it out
That's
loud.
That's awesome. Say it out loud. Shout it.
It's very, it is so funny. I talked to my therapist about this. I'm like, this is so weird. And she was like, why is it weird?
Right.
Because you're literally doing the work. And so now the business is making good money. And it's crazy to me that we work with some of the largest companies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They are trusting us to produce these mailers because I think what we do is so different than anything else that I'm seeing in the market right now. And one of my clients told me that what sets me apart is that I'm a joy to work with.
Wow.
It's hard with different with agencies because some people get ego. Yep. There's absolutely no ego in this for me. I am still operating like I'm that woman holding the 2-month-old baby in my 2-bedroom townhouse. I want to do well. I want to bring my best. Every single time these clients are getting my absolute best. And so if that means me and my husband and our boys are all in the warehouse together, you know, putting boxes together, then that's what we do.
So as you're working with these major corporations, are you also adapting your staffing structure to incorporate some of the skill sets that you'll need to continue to produce these mailers?
For sure. So we currently, right now, I'm the CEO, I'm the founder, and my husband is working full-time with us now as the chief operating officer, and he basically manages the warehouse and the warehouse staff as well. And then I have a lead graphic designer who is absolutely phenomenal, but just based on our workload, we need more than just her. She's awesome, but we're now looking to bring on another graphic designer to basically work under her as her associate designer.
Okay.
I have my executive assistant that works with me. And then we're growing so much that now is the time that we have to start thinking like, you know, like a big girl business, you know, we're not this, you know, small business anymore, just doing, you know, maybe 10, 15 events a year. Now we're doing, I mean, I think we've already done 9 mailers and it's April. So the rest of the year is extremely busy for us and we have to just staff accordingly.
Have you started doing live events again as well?
I have. So last weekend was my first. I did 2 live events last weekend. We have a gala coming up in May for our clients and we constantly get inquiries. But right now I've been having to turn so many, you know, prospective clients away. So I think we're going to be bringing on an event manager as well that can, because I don't want to give up events. Like I still love events. Events is how I started. And so I still want to be able to offer that service. It's just right now the mailer piece is just taking priority.
Yeah. And I mean, we're still in a time where events are slower than they used to be. They're definitely ramping back up, but we're still in a time where, you know, mailers are very much needed. Are there people who are doing both these days, like mailer event or live box presence at the event?
Yeah. So most of our clients, so we work with a lot of clients in the entertainment space. And so they're doing live events and they have teams that are still managing these live events. But the mailer piece is still huge from a social standpoint. So it's just a way to continue to increase engagement around a show or just a new title. They're able to keep it fresh. Like we're still sending out Bel Air boxes. We still have the client wanting us to send out Bel Air boxes. So
it's
I'll get
so
tagged
beautiful.
From
it is a work of art. Yeah. I just love it.
That box it opened the floodgates, really. It's next level.
I'll have to see if we can insert video or picture because that was really
I love that.
Gorgeous.
So, that one was special. And what was unique about that is that the client Peacock allowed us to be creative and it was a collaborative effort. So there were many brainstorming sessions with their team. We watched screeners so we could kind of get an idea for what the vibe of the show was. And we knew that we wanted to highlight the gates of the Banks Mansion. And so we were able to bring that to life.
So we're going to do a quick lightning round. You just answer the very first thing that comes to mind. So what is a resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
Yes. So I use a CRM called Dubsado, Dubsado. And it's been a game changer for my business.
All right. That's a new one. I haven't heard that. Okay. So what's been the best business book or podcast episode or event that you've been to?
I love the Earn Your Leisure podcast. And I just listened to a really good one with Steve Harvey. And there was just so many gems that I took from that.
And then number three, who is a Black woman entrepreneur that you would want to trade places with for a day and why?
Ooh, I like that. Miley Till. I just love how real she is. And she seems to have the mommy piece down too. So I need all of that good juju.
Number four, what is a personal habit that has helped you significantly in your business?
I think just taking a moment every day and listening to worship music, it just helps me to like center myself when I know I'm gonna have a crazy day.
Yes. And then finally, what's your parting advice for fellow Black women entrepreneurs who are, you know, wanting to step out but are scared to lose that steady paycheck?
Remember that relationships matter. So if you're going to leave a job, make sure you leave well. Make sure that you are genuine with people because you never know who can help you in the future. You never know. So never burn a bridge.
So where can people connect with you and learn more about Savvy Events after this episode?
You can find me on Instagram. It's at Savvy Events LLC. I'm also on Facebook at Savvy Events, and my website is www.savvy-events.com.
All right. Well, Denitra, thank you so much for being in the guest chair. You guys, I really hope you truly get the full essence of Savvy Events, this awesome business, this amazing pivot that she did during one of the hardest times that we've all ever seen in life. And I can't wait to see how Savvy Events continues to grow and flourish. Thank you for being an inspiration.
Oh, thank you so much, Nikayla.
And with that, there you have it. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.